2 Thessalonians chapter 1. While you're turning there in your Bibles, and background on this epistle we're fixing to get into, is the theme of this book is the day of the Lord. And the key verses, which we'll read them and as we preach through chapter 2 and look through that, where he says, I now beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, is that the day of Christ is at hand. The people had of this church were being led astray, and people telling them the rapture's already happened, you've already been left behind, now you're going to have to suffer through some things because that persecution they were enduring during that time. The false teachers tried to make it out that they were already in the tribulation. I don't know if you understand this or not, or how really how hard a statement this is, but you have never seen persecution that's going to take place against Christians when the Holy Spirit of God is removed from this planet at the rapture.
Right.
You think it's evil now.
Yeah.
You wait, you see what comes then.
Right.
You think they're parading sodomites down the front street of America today. Wait till you see what they do then.
Yeah.
You think they're taking children and doing things with them that's wrong. Wait till that happens.
Right.
I look at the evil that's going on today, and I read what Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. I've always thought that must be pretty bad days. I looked at what's going on today and I thought, we haven't got there yet. But he's going to deal with all that in his second epistle. And as we read verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look over these two verses today, before Paul ever delves in and deals with God's wrath and the day of the Lord and things like that, he starts off by identifying God's servants in this day and age. They were available in that day and age. And as we look at this today, I want to preach to you on the identities of God's servants. The identities of God's servants. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you today, Lord, for letting us be in the house of God. Lord, what a privilege, honor, and blessing it is to be here today. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll add the blessing to the reading of your word today, God, that it'll go forth and accomplish that for which it's sent. We pray, God, that you'll help us all understand it. According to Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And Lord, that you'll help me to preach today according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Lord, we thank you in advance for everything you're going to do for us. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look in the Word of God today, this first chapter deals with the work of the Lord. And when you've got work, you've got servants carrying on that work, and God identifies both of them. If you look down in verse 1, he shows us first the preachers of the Lord. He shows us who they are. You've got a Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus. Out of these three men, what you got in Paul is a leader. Paul was the one who got the direction from God on where to go to start the churches. He got the direction on where to plant those churches at. He got the soul winning direction, everything. Everything come through that man of God. The man of God with him, Silvanus, and Silas, as he's also named in here. He would let the man of God lead, and him being a man of God himself, a missionary himself, was okay with that. Unlike most preacher cliques that get together, they were not jealous of each other and said, well, God talks to me too. You know what's bad about a preacher's fellowship? God preaching's under the pressure of, he's got 30 guys looking at him saying, I'm preaching that better than him.
Come on.
Wait till it's my turn.
Come on.
Or even worse, the guy that don't get called on to preach, you know what he says? They couldn't handle it if I got up.
Uh-oh.
That's right. They couldn't handle it. I'm afraid we can. One more burst of hot air ain't going to kill nobody, man. Listen. You got a leader. You got Silas, Silvanus here, who's the assistant to the man of God. And there's no crime in being number two. You know why? He'd get rewarded like number one is.
Right.
You don't get rewarded by how far you climb up the ladder. You get rewarded for doing where God says get on the ladder at.
Come on.
There's a lot of guys I've preached with and had meetings with over years. And every once in a while, I'll preach with somebody that's famous, you know, somewhat. And I'm like, I never know who these people are, because I didn't get saved in 1994, so I didn't know who a lot of them was.
Yeah.
But But I got up and preached with a guy, and they called this old man up and preached behind me, and he had to be 100 at least. He was an old guy, you know, real old guy. Couldn't hardly get up and everything. Yeah, I got up and preached. Boy, the God fell in the house, whole 9 yards. After the service, I was sitting there at lunch. He came over and sat with me. He said, "Do you know who I am?" I said, "I have no idea. I heard him call your name." But he said, "I was Oliver Green's song leader." He said, "You're the only person I've ever heard preach against music the way you do, except for me." He said, "I'm going to come sit lunch because I knew you was going to sit by yourself." I said, "Oh, God." I've been called old-fashioned, but when an older man of God says, "You preach like I do," that's you. There's your crowd right there. But I'm okay with that. I'm okay being associated with the Albert Hardens and the Dennis Carters and all them older preachers that's cut the rows right over the years. I'm okay with that. You say, "You're not like them new preachers." That's exactly right. There's a purpose behind that. I want to follow them old paths like Jeremiah said in chapter 6, verse 16. I want to follow them like Paul did and Silvanus did. And listen, if you ever wonder why, listen, when I go out and preach to somebody, you ever wonder why they don't have me back is this. I give them no trouble. Now, I give the devil a bunch of trouble, and I might start trouble preaching, but here's what happens. That pastor says, "I want you to sit over there." That's where I sit.
Yeah.
He says, "I want you to be ready at such and such." I get ready for such and such.
Yeah.
And when that fellow said, "Welcome at Lighthouse," I said, "Let me pray about it, but I'll do it just because the pastor said to." True story, true story. I'm telling you, listen, when you are doing something for the Lord, you the second man, just be a good second man. Don't worry about it. Let the leader take all hits.
Right.
And then he had a preacher boy with him by the name of Timotheus. If you go back and study this poor old guy, Timotheus, he was a half-breed Jew, half-breed Gentile. Gentiles didn't want him, and the Jews kind of looked down on him because he has mixed blood. Paul looked at him, saw a lost man, won him to Christ. Grandma and Mama have been working on him for years. Paul wins him to Christ. God calls him to preach. He says, "You know what, I'm going to take you with me." And now all of a sudden he's Paul's preacher boy. You got a preacher boy, you got an assistant. You got the head man of God there on his missionary team going out. And something struck me this week. That's God's pattern for missions. It's God's pattern. So how so? Listen to this. They come out of Egypt through that Red Sea, right? Part of sea.
Yeah.
When they got on the other side, God closed that up. And from that point till the day one certain guy died, it was right there. God had three men in that crowd. Moses. He was the leader. Aaron, who was his assistant, and Joshua, who was his preacher boy that would take over behind Moses.
Yeah.
So, wow, that's something else. You know why Paul was such a good leader? Because Paul was sought out by a guy named Barnabas, who went and found him after he heard of his conversion, brought him back to Antioch, and they taught and studied doctrine there and taught doctrine to the people. Then them two went out, and Barnabas took John Mark with him, his preacher boy. Ain't that something?
Yeah.
No wonder he knew to do it like this.
Yeah.
He'd only been trained by the Lord to do that and saw it in the Word of God Himself. Yeah. Would to God that we'd try to, everybody try to be in our spot, be where we're supposed to be, and let God use us like that.
Yeah.
Because when you see who they are in this verse, you see also where they go. Because he says this guy named Paul, Silvanus and Timotheus, here's where they went, unto the church of the Thessalonians. Where did they go? They go to God's people. They go to God's people. These missionaries, when they wrote this letter, when Paul wrote this letter in the inspiration of God, addressed it to the church people. Where do preachers go? They go to preach to church people. So I thought preachers preach the lost. No, they preach everywhere. And when you look at a guy like Paul, he goes there to preach and encourage the people. He starts out this letter doing that, the last, and most of them as well. But he points out something to them. He says, unto the church of the Thessalonians that's in God and in Christ. See, they go to the church people. They preach the gospel when they're there because obviously when they're there, when they first showed up, there was no church at Thessalonica.
Right.
There was just Thessalonica. And so what'd they do? Well, they couldn't exactly go down there to the Crystal Cathedral and the Jews let them in down there.
Right.
Wasn't going to happen. They couldn't go to the synagogue because word was already out on Paul that he had been converted to Christianity. So what they had to do? They had to go out there and start street preaching. But unlike street preaching today, they had different results. Either Paul would get locked up, or there'd be people get saved that didn't get locked up. That's how it happened. Wouldn't you like to know, Dave, if you went to preach up here in Gadsden, they'd call the law on you? So would they do that? Try it and see, they will. But you know who's going to help you out here? The law will. They are sick and tired of all the stuff going on around here and having to run the same people back and forth to jail all the time like a taxi. They'll be glad to bring you some water, preacher. Go preach on the streets. They'll be glad to see you have some converts and get out of that business. They'll be glad to see the crack house and the meth house shut down. They'd love to see it.
Amen.
So what are they doing out there on the street? Oh, Paul said, I say not know nothing but Christ and Him crucified among you. That's all he preached on. So what if they come by and they were doing some kind of sin in front of me? He preached the gospel because the gospel is what they needed to hear.
Right.
And I noticed that they not only preach the gospel, but when they come to these churches, they come to these people here. After the church is established, they do one thing that is missing in every church just about in America today. They teach the Bible. Revolutionary concept. God's preacher teaches God's book to God's people. I was watching a guy preach one time on a video, and he said this. He said, my seminary professor wrote this book, and he held up the book. So we're going to go through this book as I teach this to you. I like my seminary professors. Some of them were good, and some of them were just, you know. But listen to me very carefully. None of them wrote a book quite like God's book.
Right.
They were good men. Not questioning that. But none of them put the corn on the taters like God does. You understand? None of them shuck the corn quite like it. None of them can cut it straight like that. And if I want to teach you anything, I'd rather teach you what God said and you go out and try to find a book for $19.95 or $9.95 or whatever to try to be like old stuff shirt.
Right. Amen.
Amen. I say all that in charity, though, but you got to understand that there's no book like this book. The King wrote this one. And as we look at it, they go teach God's Word. What do they teach them? They teach them church things for the church age. They didn't go in there and teach them how to keep the Passover law. They come in there and talk about Christ, how He is the Passover and fulfilled the law.
Right.
They didn't come in there and teach them the Ten Commandments. No, they came in there and told them the Ten Commandments to show you're lost. And if a man tries to dare say, well, I keep all the commandments and all this other stuff, I got news for you. There's nobody but Jesus Christ ever kept those commandments.
Right.
And it's an insult and blasphemy to claim you keep the Ten Commandments, you wicked, evil, adulterous, backbiting sinner, that you could keep something only a perfect, holy God could. So you're calling me names? You got it. I ain't talking crowd, I ain't here. Listen, for somebody said, well, I keep the commandments. I keep the Sabbath. No, you don't.
Right.
If we enforce the law like you think you keep the law, you'd have to die.
Yeah.
The punishment for missing the Sabbath, they wasn't asking God for forgiveness. It was getting stoned to death.
Yeah.
All these smart aleck children I see at Walmart, they wasn't, listen, it wasn't I'll beat you when I get home. They'd stone you to death in public for that stuff.
Yeah.
Some of you would never bless God made it out of your teenage years
right.
If the law was in effect from the Bible. You ought to sit there today and say, thank God for grace.
Yeah.
You're just pointing at your teenager saying, see, I should kill you, but now it's turned back on you. So God's graceful, you know. But he says who they are, who they serve, and where they go and everything. And here's who they serve in the latter part of that verse. He says they serve God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you notice this, these men of God, these preachers that were the servants, their ministry is not a job, it's a calling.
Yeah.
You can change jobs. How many of you like your job? One, two, three, four, five liars, six liars. You know I say you're a liar? You know I say liar? If they didn't pay you, you wouldn't show up tomorrow.
Right, right.
True story. What do you call a job over there? What's the name of it? The
Bad Place.
The Bad Place. Thank you. Thank you. Now, looking at this thing like that and taking a good look at that thing, if you don't like a job, you can go out and get another one.
Right.
Thank God we got a president that's bringing jobs back to America. Time back in, I was going to say that. But I know this, you can get another job.
Yeah.
I got news for you, though. When you get to that one, it's going to be just like the last one, just different people.
Yeah.
So learn to be content where you're at unless you just have to go. Unless you work for me, then you got the greatest boss and the greatest pension plan and all that other stuff. How many employees you got? None. I like to keep it that way, too. I keep all my people satisfied that way. But I notice he says here, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, that makes it different because a ministry is not a job. It's a calling.
Right. Right.
And they were not called to be promoters. They were called to be preachers.
Right.
I'll have to say this, that before I ever knew God called me to pastor, God called me to preach. And as a preacher, I'd say this. If I got the opportunity to preach, I'm headed that way, wherever it's at. Somebody calls and says, well, we need a guy to preach such and such. Well, I'll be that guy. I'll be your Huckleberry. Some of you get that, don't you? Listen, hey, we need to always be ready, instant, in season, out of season, reprove. I mean, all the time, be ready to preach the message that God give you. So what if you ain't got one? Get one. Get in that book and get one. God's got messages all through that thing. So I don't know the crowd I'm going to preach to. Then really let them have it, because God will give you something. And you can preach it without having to look at people thinking, you doing that, you doing that, you doing that, you doing that. But see, after you get a little bit older in ministry, don't you figure out, it don't matter. Just preach.
Right.
Just preach. It ain't, listen, so what if somebody gets mad? Guess what? They'll get over it.
That's right.
They'll finally figure out you wasn't trying to attack them. It's God trying to knock on their doorstep, rattle their door latch, and all that other business. And God can use that.
Right.
But he only uses servants for that. And I noticed they were not promoters. They were not trying to promote the church of Thessalonica. They were out preaching the gospel and serving the Lord with the thing.
Right.
And I noticed also these men, they were not trying to please the flesh. They were trying to please the Father. Do you know what the most horrible stories I hear from other pastors is? It's when they tell me, well, such and such got mad. How do I keep them not mad and get them to stay because they're big tithers? You know what I tell them? Let them go. Why? Because you're trying to please the flesh.
Right.
Just not your flesh, somebody else's flesh. You cannot be a servant of God and money.
Right.
And look at it this way. Unless you a lazy chicken-eating thief, and God has actually called you to this, you preach and let God sort out the details. Preacher, if you say something wrong, apologize for it. I mean, if you did something stupid, apologize for it. But if preaching that book got somebody mad, let God deal with it.
Right.
I mean, that's the best way to work this thing, right? Because if you go deal with it, and God's trying to deal with them people, you're going to make excuses for God, and they're never going to get their heart right.
Right.
There's a lot of people that said to young preachers, they said, listen, you can preach on such and such, but don't bring up this, and don't bring up this, and don't bring up this. And oh, dear God and Gaffney, please don't preach against drinking because half our deacons are drunk. Is that right? You can preach on anything but that. No, I'm not your servant. I'll be God's servant. He says preach against it. We're gonna call it like the book calls it.
Right.
Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. Hey, listen, we don't want to walk around in deception following the deceiver.
Right.
Tell your lace drawer wearing preacher I said that too, by the way.
Right.
Listen, we want to preach the book and let God do business with his people so that we might follow him where we're at in these last days. They were not trying to please the flesh. They didn't go in there and say, well, you Thessalonians are the cutest ones. Y'all are cuter in Corinth, you're cuter in Ephesus and all that. Wouldn't you hate to hear that out of me today? Well, y'all are just so much cuter than the church up the road and church down the road and all this other stuff. Why, I bet y'all all have halos. I see them there now. They're hanging on a set of horns, but you got them, amen. Listen. How do you stand that stuff? The Bible says a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Get somebody to preach the books that serves God and does that. But see, these preachers weren't the only servants there. Everybody who's in the church is a servant of God. And when I say in the church, I'm not somebody that's in Christ Jesus, that's born again. Because verse 2, he gives out some simple principles here about the people of the Lord. These are the other servants that's identified. And these people of the Lord were there at Thessalonica. And he says to them, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at this verse, think about this. Grace is God's gift to his people. We can say this about grace. It is not deserved by any of us. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. No one is good enough to say, I deserve to have God's grace come my way for any reason. If you got what you deserve, you'd be in hell with your back broke right now.
Right.
But instead, God chose to send grace your way.
Yeah.
Grace unto you. I'm glad he said grace and not judgment unto you, because I really deserve that judgment part because of grace. I didn't get that.
Right.
Listen, when he says grace unto you, that tells me where it come from, and you can't dictate grace.
Right.
See, no one tells God who gets grace and who gets judgment. Ain't you glad? You know why? There's always somebody out there that loves you, and there's always somebody out there that hates you.
Even
if you don't know it.
Yeah.
And say, who hates me? Probably the people going, bless your heart, good to see you today. God bless you, good to see you, good to see you. Well, the Bible did say we'd handle serpents. That must be a serpent if he's coiling up like that, trying to get a hold of you like that, ain't he?
Well,
amen.
Well.
It's not dictated. People come along and say, well, my kids are good kids. All my kids are. They're not bad kids. You know why? They've got the grace of God on them. How about this? God said in Ezekiel chapter 18, he wasn't going to take something from the father and give it to the children anymore. He wasn't going to visit them like that. That everybody's going to be accountable for their self.
Yeah.
You're accountable for what you do with God's grace. Right. You can't dictate it and say where it's going to go, but you are accountable for what you do with it.
Right.
He said, grace unto you, and it's also not defeated either. You ever see this thing when these ball teams go undefeated? I mean, it's not like they just win the championship. They're undefeated. You know, big deal. Nobody ever talks about how grace is undefeated. Say, can you prove that? Listen to this. John chapter 18, verse 9. It says, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Wherever the grace of God goes, it's undefeated.
Right.
Jesus has never lost a convert. Boy, that's good stuff right there. I think about that, and I think about all the times I might have failed him or something. He said, I still ain't lost you. You're still mine. I can no longer separate myself from him than I could from my own earthly father. It's all in the DNA now. So what's the DNA found in? In the blood. It's identifying. And I see that when he talks about God, the grace is God's gift to his people, he also points out that peace is. He said, grace unto you and peace. You know that little symbol on that Facebook thing? Some of you watching it right now, let me look right at the camera and say this. You know that little thing, that little F down there? They should change that to a D and make that drama book. Because it ceased to be in Facebook a long time ago. Drama book. Oh, such and such has made me mad, and you better hope I don't find you. They're going to get up behind your keyboard and look for them. They're not behind your monitor. Like some people talk about fighting. If I was a betting man on fighting, I'd think, boy, that must be the fighters right there. Until I look and see how many fights they've been in there. 0-0. They ain't even been in one.
Yeah.
Come on, people, listen. Don't be a keyboard warrior. Try to have peace about you because God gave that to you as a gift.
Right.
Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Hey, listen, the Bible talks about living peaceably with all men as best as you can. I mean, I ain't going to start a war with my neighbor over here just because I can.
Right.
Try to live peaceable.
Right.
She may have guns I don't know about. It's bigger than my guns. Don't want to get all that started. I might lose. You've got to think. Is that right? You got to take in consideration that if Jesus said peace unto you and my peace I leave with you, he intends for you to be peaceful to others.
Right.
Let me say this again for Wednesday night. You may win the argument, but it's the attitude that's important. You got to have the right attitude about things and the right spirit about you.
Amen.
And that's the spirit of peace. So what about when they attack me? Ignore it. As long as they ain't cutting your head off, don't worry about it. They called me such and such, and they called my mama names. Really? They called your mama names? And you're going to go fight because of that? Well, you don't understand. They talk about my young'uns. Hey, dummy, they talked about them before. You shouldn't hear about it. They called them brats. B-R-A-T-S, brats. They called your wife bad names. Not even going to spell them. And guess what they called you? Well, ain't that something? You ready to fight yet? Fighting I leave unto you. No. Peace. peace, grace and peace. I leave. And he says there, for a fact, grace unto you and peace. Then things go together.
Right.
Grace on one side of it and peace on the other side.
Right.
You ever wonder why he said it like that? Grace, Gentiles, peace, Jews. They had both kind of converts in there. Abba Shalom, peace. Shalom. See, listen, God's peace is God's gift to his people. And when he brings grace and peace together to somebody, he's bringing salvation to them. That's how they become servants of the Lord. They got saved by him. And now that they're saved, they're his for whatever he wants them to do. Nobody gets to come to God and pick out what you're going to do. Do you know that? Just like you don't go in the U.S. Army and tell them what you're going to do. Are you aware today, now listen to this, that how many military guys we got here? Former military, current military? Okay, two, three. Let me ask y'all something. When y'all was in that little recruiter's office, did you fill out a sheet to go certain places that you wanted to go and jobs you wanted to do? Do y'all remember that? They call that a dream sheet. And guess what happens? You don't go to none of them places. You don't get none of them jobs. Why? You're in the Army. You go where the Army tells you to go.
Right.
Military ain't there to, as a vacation spot. No, they're there to fight. And they're going to assess you and put you where they want you. And if you ain't trained for it, guess what they're going to do? They're going to train you for it. And you're going to do it. That's how it works. I could see them recruiters' papers now. Where do you want to go to? Hawaii. Florida. Particularly Orlando where it's hot. And Pensacola, the white beaches down there. I want to go to Puerto Rico and be stationed down there. And by the way, don't call Puerto Rican's names. They're Americans, by the way. You know, that's almost the 51st state. No kidding. Go look it up. Puerto Rico's all sunshiny down there. Southern California. And you get your orders back. And what they say? Anchorage, Alaska. Well, at least I'll get my job. Here's my job to put that for. I want to be in charge of the kitchen. Or I want to be in charge. Because I like Gordon Ramsay. Don't watch that thing. I'll be like Gordon Ramsay in the military. Oh, I want to go out here and be a... I want to be a sniper. Boy, I used to play them when I'd be, pow, I'll be a sniper. And I'll put this job down over here. I'll be the guy in charge of the motor pool because I like to work on cars. And they say, no, we're going to make you a photographer. But I filled out for them. Okay. But we need you over here. And call your mom and cry about it. No, you going to stand there and, yes, sir, and go on with it. It's life. When you come to God, he's nicer than them, though. Because out of love, he tells you where you need it, not out of necessity. God does have a sense of humor, though. I found that out. I offer to go anywhere, even Antarctica. God said, I want you right down here. Well, Lord, you know, I'll go to Germany. Anywhere, Lord. How about right here? Well, Lord, you know the Bible says that a prophet's not without honor saving his own country, his own house. I'm not putting you here for honor. I get that. You go preach. Sitting in missions class one day, and Brother Joe Geddes was teaching missions, and he taught Ezekiel chapter 3, and it said, your hard head will hit their hard head, the sparks will fly upward, and y'all will all speak the same language. You know that thing? And I thought, well, I'd rather have an Ezekiel ministry and not have one at all, amen. I'll just go on and do it. Are you listening to me? You don't pick, God picks. And when we look at that statement, as we look across the broad field of sinners that's amongst us today that's gotten saved, I could look at you and say this probably without hesitation that Jesus does save bad sinners because you got in.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What happened to you? Jesus saved bad sinners. For those of you that think you're not so bad, you got saved. He saves good sinners too. Heals me how people think they're a good sinner. Well, I'm not like those crackheads. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm not like a crackhead either. I'm not like them crooked people. Oh, no, not at all. But when God weighs you in the balance, he sees you as wicked as they are.
Right.
I heard a man tell me one time, he said, listen. He said, you don't understand. I don't do bad things. Really? Don't do bad things at all? Oh, I'm a good person. Good person, he says. Well, perhaps you can explain to me where you was 10 years ago and what you're doing 10 years ago. Now, I was in college. That don't count. Wait a minute. But it does count. No, that's in the past. No. When you put all that out there and say, I'm a good person, then you do it on your own merit, we go by the whole life, not just what you want us to see. And a person dies in that condition, God don't judge you by how you died. He judges you by how you lived. He gets all of it.
Right.
Just imagine this. The Bible says about that final judgment, the books were open, talking about the Bible books. And every man gave account of that thing, right? How about this bunch that says, well, I didn't tithe. That's chicken eating thieves out of that church house. They're trying to get my money and put gold doorknobs on everything. Okay, Jim Baker don't pastor here, but let's say that you walk out here and die with that on you. He ain't going to save what you tithe after you got a job. He's going to take you from birth to death what you had. And he's not going to go by your money. He's going to buy everything you possess. Let me show you a little. Y'all like what they call them, object illustrations? Let me show you an object illustration. To my shame, I was not at church last Sunday morning. Now, I was preaching revival, but still, I wasn't here. Right? But this comes back today, and then today's goes with it. Why? Because it's right.
Amen.
It's right. Hey, listen, don't skip out on God.
Amen.
Don't make him a spare tire, God. You use him when you need him. A salvation didn't come to you as a spare tire.
Right.
He put four new sets on you, buddy. He put a set of four on you and put good tires on you. He didn't retread you.
Right.
I look at this thing about salvation, about God saving good sinners and bad sinners. And I also know this, for a fact, God will save sinners that's here today.
Right.
He's provided the grace of God. He's provided peace to go after the grace of God. You get the grace of God. He's provided himself to walk with you along the way. He seals you by the Holy Spirit of God. How much better deal could you want? God with you in Christ Jesus the whole way through. No matter what comes up, he's always there. Do you know how hard it is sometimes for some people? You see them go through something and you think, well, that ain't so bad. But you go something through less, but it's bad on you. It's kind of like that thing. Well, they're doing a surgery. They're going to take out my appendix. It's going to be outpatient. It's not a major thing. Well, once you say it's my surgery, it becomes a major deal. They're not cutting on you. We ain't just like, I'll pray for it. No, I want you to pray. They're going to take a knife and cut me. No, you don't understand, preacher. They're going to use lasers. Big deal. They're going to cut you with them. That's even worse. What if that thing fires off on a skip one time? Go through your whole body, take out your colon, your spleen, your intestines, and everything. Darth Vader shot you with that laser, and there you'd be. But when you see somebody going through something, don't discount what they're going through. Always remember this. You are God's servant to people as well.
Right.
Always try to have a kind, encouraging word to somebody everywhere you can. Try to be the servant of God and do what God would have you to do. So I think God wants me to be judgmental. Yeah, maybe. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. You probably need to learn how to have that spirit of Christ about you and learn to be a good servant of God.
Right.
And let him handle all the rest of the things. Let me close by saying this today. I have never understood why people do their children this way, but people do it all the time. What they do is they'll attack their children that are adult children that don't go to church. They attack them. You need to go to church. Give them that evil eye too. I want you to church house, small boy. Me is a devil too. And every time you turn around, they say, see, this happened. You ought to have been in church. That wouldn't happen to you. But when it happens to them, they in church, how do they explain that? Can I quote you what a female preacher said this week? She said to this family in a funeral, y'all having so many people die, what are y'all doing wrong? Oh, when the death angel comes rattling her doorstep, I want to preach the funeral. She's sitting in the congregation. I'll say, the death done been visiting your door now. What you been doing wrong now? That ain't God's servant.
Right.
That ain't God's servant. Hey, listen. Let's be His servant. Whether you're a preacher or whether you're just a person in the congregation, God brought you there to serve Him. Serve Jesus Christ while you got the chance. So what are we talking about? Identifying. Identifying. Listen, identify with Jesus Christ and be His servant. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.